bumps go out the door and down the hall, let me say that there is a need for more junior church teachers. And the pay is very little. The benefits are out of this world, though. And so I would ask you to pray with me about that and pray about yourself. And if the Lord leads me, I might even ask you to pray about it even more in detail. But the two guys that do it are not complaining, but it's just two of them. It'd be nice if they could rotate with a few more. But appreciate those guys and all of our teachers and van drivers and people that bring in young people and work behind the scenes. It's a blessing to have them here. One of those young people were sitting with me last week at lunch during the potluck. And at the top of their t-shirt, they showed me this scar. It goes all the way down the center of their chest. And they said, I had heart surgery. I didn't know that. I'm talking about one of these about this high. And a lot of them don't have a dad or might not have a mom at home and maybe live with some other relatives. But get to know these young people and understand behind the scenes some of the background and at least pray for them. And if you would like to have a part with the junior church program, we can talk about that. I don't normally have my cell phone with me. In fact, it's a no-no to have cell phones in the auditorium. I do have it turned off, but I was videoing that song. I wasn't really videoing the song, but I was videoing the lives up here. And when I was listening to them practice earlier this week, God has been good. And I hope you don't take it for granted. And I hope that when they're about 5 and 10 years older from now, they're still singing that and still loving the Lord. Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's pray, and we'll go on today. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. Thank you for opportunity now to open it and to read from it, to hear from it. Help us to hear from your word through your Holy Spirit, and that my mind and mouth would be guided and guarded by what you'd have said, and that you'd speak to us today. And thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, concerning forgetting not all his benefits. Count your many blessings. You know, the truth is, we've forgotten so many of the good things that God has done for us that it's a shame. But we ought not forget all of them. We ought to be able to at least remember some of the things that God's done for us. And number one, he provides me all his benefits. I have all that I need. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. The word of God tells me as a Christian that he supplies and meets my needs. You say, yeah, but I didn't get this. I guess it wasn't a need. I guess he didn't want you to have that, at least not right now. I don't know of anything that God has failed to give me. I can't say anything that God should have gotten me one of those, or I should have had this or this or that or the other, except for maybe hair. Would have liked more hair. No, just kidding. But honestly, God has been good, and we have no need to complain. And if you can't think of anything, hopefully as I go down this list, you'll begin to realize some of the things that God has been good to us and that he has provided for. As we enter November, I love to talk about Thanksgiving. I love to stop and count our blessings. We ought not just do it once a year, but this is that time of year where we celebrate that holiday that nobody remembers anymore. But it is an important time of year to stop and think about the blessings and the goodness and not forgetting all his benefits. He provides me those benefits. Listen, if you know who he is, you're blessed. Even if you're not a believer, even if you're not saved, if you know who he is, you're blessed for knowing who he is. There are many people in this world that don't even know who God is. They have a false impression, a false understanding of God, they have a false God. They don't know him like you and I know him. I know this week is a big week for America. And I know that probably many of us are disturbed and frustrated with even where we are at this point. But let me remind you that in Belarus, they don't have elections like this, all right? I mean, we're getting to that stage, but they're already there. They've got the same president for the last 27 years, and he's a dictator. And there are men, there are fathers and husbands and sons that are disappearing off the streets of Belarus. They're just disappearing. Husbands aren't coming home, and it's because they're being incarcerated and thrown in a dungeon somewhere. And understand the freedoms that we still have and the blessings that we enjoy. I promise you this, and I don't mean to make light of it because I know it's a big deal, but I promise you on Wednesday or however long afterwards, I'm still going to be the same guy trusting the same Lord and worshiping the same God and praising the same God for all his goodness to me. He provides me with all his benefits. God is good. Number two, he forgiveth all my iniquities. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? He forgives me my sin. The simple idea that he redeems me by his blood, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What an amazing thing. No doubt about it, there are people who walk around so oppressed and depressed because they do not have the forgiveness of sin. They do not have the forgiveness of and the knowing that they've been forgiven. He forgiveth all mine iniquities. Verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now you think about that. As far as east is from west, that's how far he has moved my sins away from me. I love that. I love that because east is a long ways and west is, as a matter of fact, it's scientific to say it that way because you can go east forever and never go west. You can go west and never go east. If it had said north and south, eventually you go north, you'll end up going south. But you can go east and never go west. That's how far apart it is and removed from me. That's forgiveness. That's amazing. We have not one, we have more than one persons in our church, and part of our family, that used to be incarcerated, used to be in prison, used to be in jail. You know what? That doesn't matter to me, and I know it doesn't matter to God. As long as you've been forgiven and cleansed, it doesn't matter. If that bothers you, you probably either need to get right with God or stop coming here. He forgiveth all mine iniquities. Look what 1 John, keep your finger in Psalm 103. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness and walk in darkness instead. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that amazing? We say that we have no sin. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? If we confess our sins, he is faithful. That's not for salvation. Salvation is simply confession that you are a sinner and you need to be saved. But now that I am saved, there's a constant need for me to be reminded that, hey, you know what? I messed up again. I was wrong and I need to ask God forgiveness. And sometimes I need to ask other people forgiveness. And confessing my sin, I don't know. I don't go to a priest on a Saturday or Sunday. I don't go to some human being. I go directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask him for forgiveness as I confess, agree with God of my sin. Forget not all his benefits. The forgiveness of sin is a huge benefit that you have when you're saved that can't be. In fact, it ties into the next point because I do believe that our health is connected to forgiveness or a lack of forgiveness. I do believe a lot of people's health is connected I don't mean all the time, but I do believe a lot of times health is somewhat self-destructive from a lack of forgiveness and cleansing and the guilt that we carry around with us. Because number three, he healeth all my diseases. Back there in Psalm 103, it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, let me stop here and say, I'm not a TV preacher or one of these guys that think that if you're right with God, you're not sick. Because I don't believe that. In fact, I'm blowing my nose today. I got allergies. I was born with them. I had them a long time anyway. And health is not an indication of your spiritual life. But with your finger in Psalm 103, I'm going to read you something. We'll go back to 1 John 1, verse 7 again, but I'm going to read from Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. Paul's talking about himself, and he says, for I know that in me, in my flesh, Romans 7, 18, for I know that in me, that is to, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I was born diseased. My flesh was born with problems. Yours was too. We inherited those problems from our parents who inherited them from their parents and on the way back. But he healeth all my diseases. Back there in 1 John 1, 7, it says, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Up in Psalm 147 and verse number 3, Psalm 147 and verse number 3, I'm going to read this to you. Psalm 147 verse 3, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Sooner or later, you probably have had or will have a broken heart. He healeth a broken heart and bindeth up their wounds. As you get older, you find out that physical problems aren't really the biggest problems. And I would rather walk in here or roll in here in a wheelchair or hobble in here on one foot or wheel on one foot right with God than walk in here healthy but have all kinds of internal problems, spiritual problems. He healeth all my diseases. He said, well, he hadn't healed all my diseases. You know, back there in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, when they crossed through the Red Sea and they got to the other side, they began to sing and praise the Lord. And at the end of the chapter, God said, if you'll obey me and keep my commandments, I'll make sure that none of these diseases are on you that you see around you in these other lands. And I'll talk about more about that in a minute because there is a connection there between the next point. But let me just stop and say that we've had people in our church that had cancer. We've had people in our church that were diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and they died from it. You say, well, what happened there? They don't have cancer anymore. You say, you're being silly. I'm not being silly. They're still alive. He's healed all our diseases. They're in heaven. They didn't used to exist. They still do. I mean, the greatest blessing will be when I finally get out of this shell right here. You know? And he heals all my... And if you... We're going to be in Revelation 19 tonight. We'll be in Revelation 20 next week. You read about 1,000 years reign with Christ on a new world. I mean, you talk about amazing. We'll all be walking around saying, he healed all my diseases. I'm serious. All the believers will be there. And it will be an amazing time. God has been good physically. We have a child that had a stroke when he was a year old. He's still goofy, but God's healed him. And God is good to us, even in these days. How many of us have had an injury that we did heal from and we just forgot about it? You know what I mean? If it wasn't for a scar or maybe an occasional bruise, we wouldn't even remember it. We'd had that. But ultimately speaking, as believers, God heals the brokenhearted. He heals the wounds as only he can. Number four, it says in verse 4, he redeemeth me from destruction. Who redeemeth my life from destruction. Of course, when we see that, we instantly think of like Matthew 7:13, where it says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to life. And so we automatically think of destruction as hell. And certainly that's true. If he has saved you and redeemed you, he's redeemed you from hell. Praise God, you're not going to hell. When everything else is falling apart, if you're saved, you can at least stop and say, but I am not going to hell. Praise God for that. But you know what? And I want you, especially those of you that maybe got saved recently, I want you to understand that he redeems us not only from hell, he redeems us from sin. What do we mean by that? It is God's will that we start to sin less and less. Because if we'll sin less and less, it will cause a lot of our problems to go away. Can I get an amen there? I mean, if we'll realize that so many times it's self-destruction that we get our, we shoot our own selves in the foot. It's our own issues that are causing the problem. Sometimes I'll hear people, maybe I'll hear a spouse say something negative about another spouse. And they're maybe being funny or whatever, but you know what? Be careful of that. One day you might wake up and they're not there. Learn to be appreciative of what God has given you. Praise him and thank him and be thankful for those in your life. He redeems us from hell, but that doesn't mean we should think of it as a get out of jail free card and let's go sin and do what we want. What a foolish thing to do, because you're cheating yourself when you do that. You're robbing yourself of blessing when you don't realize and pick up the challenge of faith and say, there's stuff in my life that needs to change. You know, it isn't long after you're saved that you realize, wow, I got sin in my life. I mean, I'm saved, but I still got stuff that God doesn't like. And that's when we can say, well, I look around the room, I'm as good as that guy over there. Don't do that. That's that nature to find the group that's just like me. You know, find the pastor who isn't going to challenge me and just kind of everybody's just going to, we're all patting each other on the back. You know what? He doesn't want to just redeem us from hell. He wants to save us from our sin. He wants to save us from our pride. He wants us to get rid of that junk. He wants to get rid of that selfishness and that self-centeredness. There's just stuff there that is destroying us. We can't go to hell if we're saved, but we certainly destroy so many opportunities that we should have been able to lay hold of. And problems happen to Christians when they don't allow God to keep redeeming them from the sin. Divorce and heartbreak and heartache and worst of all, bad testimony to the others around us. But praise God, he has the ability and he wants to redeem us, not just from eternal damnation and destruction, but from self-destruction. Then notice here in verse 4, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Look back with me in chapter 5, Psalm 5, in verse 12. Psalm 5, verse 12, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. A compass is a circle. That word compass is the same idea as crown. Surround you with his favor. That's the same idea as it says back there in Psalm 103, in verse 4, who crowneth thee, surrounds you, compass you about with loving kindness and tender mercy. Look at the mercy verses here in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. I don't think you and I can comprehend just how many times it has just been merciful that he was slow to anger. You know, I said before, I think I was sitting in Sunday school this morning, I'd love to be able to zap people, you know, just zap them. Aren't you glad God doesn't think that way about us? Have you ever just stopped and bowed your head and said, God, I am an idiot. Thank you for not zapping me. What a fool. What a selfish fool. What a blind fool. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Verse number 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. We've been reading about Saul and David in our Sunday school hour. God was so merciful and gracious to the one that feared him. And being fearful of God doesn't mean that we're afraid of God, but we are respectful of God. We know that he watches everything and we're aware of him all the time. And he crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercy. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord, and this is so great, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. God is merciful. Are you starting to get some benefit lists started here? I mean, hopefully by now we're starting to talk about some benefits that we shouldn't be forgetting. Some good things that God has done in our life. The forgiveness, the healing, the restoration, the redemption from destruction, the protection from destruction, self-destruction, crowning me with loving kindness and tender mercy. So thankful for what he's done in my life. The Bible says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. What a praise to have that kind of a crown. Look at verse 6, or point 6 in my outline here. Verse 5. Verse 5, point 6. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? I want to park here for a minute and talk about this. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? You know, a lot of people are looking for satisfaction. And a lot of people find it temporarily. And because they found it temporarily, they think the next way to have it is to go back to it the next week and get some more of it temporarily. Some people get a paycheck and they spend it Friday night on that satisfaction. And there's a lot of things that supposedly satisfies, but all of those human things and all of those artificial ways are just temporary satisfaction. With your finger in 103, go back to chapter 34 and 36. Chapter 34 and verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I was talking about my sister a couple weeks ago and how that she said she didn't like milk. And so she would never have it. She would eat it in her cereal because she couldn't taste it. But she didn't like milk. And my mom didn't make her eat it. And so she just, I don't want milk. Well, one day we were somewhere else and it wasn't our home. And the person said, here's some milk. And for whatever reason, my sister, I guess, felt like obligated to drink it. She drank it. She found out she really does like milk. Remember years ago, there were some children that came over. They rode a Sunday school bus to church. And the man who operated the bus, he invited them to his house for Thanksgiving. The parents didn't want to come, but the kids wanted to come. And so he invited them over and they were going to have a Thanksgiving meal. And his wife had, all the fixings on the table. You know what the kids wanted to eat? A hot dog. You know why? That's all they'd ever been made to eat, or allowed to eat, or forced to eat, or encouraged to eat. They thought that turkey and potatoes and gravy and stuffing and dressing and all the good stuff, they thought that was yuck. You know why you don't get more out of God? Because you don't think you'd like it. I grew up just a few years ago. But a few years ago, I finally matured. And I realized that I don't like Doritos and Pepsi. I used to. And donuts. All of a sudden, a few years ago, I grew up and I realized that's junk food. And if you gave me a choice, I'd rather go, get something more healthy. I'd rather go get something a little more healthy than Pizza Hut. I know, yeah, I haven't grown up yet. You're not there yet. Mr. Spear, Twinkies, all the way. There's more commentary on that, but we'll not go there. But Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." See, it says there in 103, "He satisfies your mouth with good things." You know what? A lot of people don't know what the good stuff is. And they're constantly trying to find satisfaction in the bad stuff, in the man-made artificial stuff. And they don't know what they're missing. They don't know what they're missing out on. They have no idea how good it is to have God. And to you go to church more than once a week? What do you do that for? You read your Bible every day? Why? I mean, I'm religious and I think we ought to go to church, but you act like you like it. Yeah, exactly. It's satisfying. It's actually better. You'd rather have broccoli and carrots than gummy bears? Yeah. I'm starting to grow up. See, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Look at chapter 36 and verse 8. "They shall be abundantly satisfied with fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures." I do thank the Lord that there were some things. My mom said, you know, we're going to have wheat bread, not white bread. We're going to have honey instead of sugar on our cereal. I'm not going to get this sugar-coated stuff. I'm going to get you Wheaties and, you know, cornflake Cheerios. And I got to the point where once in a while I don't mind Cinnamon Toast Crunch or some crazy wild cereal. But honestly, the other night we were talking about sweet tarts. You know, pastel-colored sugar pounded into a pellet. Ugh. Do you see what I'm trying to illustrate here? The world, and there's a lot of churches. Well, let's just give them more sugar. Let's have more kind of wild entertainment. That's not what satisfies. That's not where it's at. That's all. It doesn't need to be all that junk. That's just junk. It doesn't last. I joked a few weeks ago when the power went out. We can still have church here. I don't know how many other churches can have church without electricity, you know. Bang, 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 you know. We can have church without all that. We don't need electric everything to have church. But what I'm trying to say is that we think we got, and I'll eat it as long as you cover it in sugar. You know? Hey, you know the Creator made broccoli and it tastes good just like it is. No. It does. What I'm trying to get you to understand is our carnal nature doesn't like the things that our Creator has given us. It's our carnal nature. Our carnal nature thinks we got to have something else. Our carnal nature wants, carnal nature can't be satisfied with God's goodness, can't be satisfied with the things that are good. But the Bible says there in Psalm 103, "He satisfies your mouth with good things." And you're actually enjoying, and your palate has been such that, as it says in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Here's the trick. Here's the real dirty secret about junk food. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fill you. It doesn't satisfy the need. So you know what happens when you get onto junk food? You have to keep eating more of it to feel full. And you know what happens to people who just eat junk? Because they keep trying to get satisfied. I know I'm not a good poster child for this right now, but I'm a witness. Maybe I should say that. Look, the point is this. You fill up on the good, you won't need the junk. Someone posted a picture the other day of a simple little hut out in the middle of a jungle with little wooden chairs. Said, "This is our church." I love doing stuff. I think it's beautiful, it's nice, but let's not forget where it's at.
Let's not forget where the satisfaction comes from. He satisfies me with good. I'm satisfied. I don't know if you've noticed, my wife is wonderful about this, and I so appreciate, she preaches water all the time. Drink water. As a matter of fact, I think I'll stop right now and do that. Drink water. I've actually come to the point where I know that it's a waste of my time to have coffee or pop or whatever. I'm not saying I never do it, but that stuff doesn't do what water does. And you know which is cheaper? Well, sometimes. You know who made it? And I know my health is way better when I just keep allowing that pure water to nourish me, to quench me, to flush out impurities. I want to challenge you to get on a diet of the good stuff. At the beginning, you won't like it. Just like if you were trying to get your kids off of Doritos and onto, you know, something better. Just like you're trying to get your kids to like broccoli. It's not going to be overnight. But I promise you that there's a diet that you're missing. Back in the book of Daniel, Daniel said, I know the king wants us to eat this, but my God wants me to eat this instead. Will you just give us time to prove which one's right? And you read Daniel chapter 1, you'll find out. God proved himself to them. And I stand here to say, I have learned that he satisfies. And I don't want anything else. I don't want the artificial stuff. I don't want what man has, you know, man has improved water. Now there's smart water. Oh, there's some smart guy that figured out how to sell you water. He satisfies me with the good things. The best stuff that this world has to offer doesn't compare with what the Creator already provided for us. He's given us his word. He's given us the simplistic way of just being satisfied, and we need to get back to it. And then number 7, he renews me, it says, verse 5 also. He satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Trusting in him, being like an eagle. He'll renew your strength like the eagles. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Being born again means that you are saved and you are a new creature. And he has renewed you. I saw a picture last week. I thought it was pretty interesting. It was an eagle, great big bald eagle, and a crow on its back. Black crow pecking on its neck, biting on its neck. And underneath it, there was an explanation. It said, you know, some other birds will do this to the eagle. Pick on it and try to attack it. And the best thing that the eagle can do, the simplest thing that the eagle can do, is it just keeps flying higher and higher and higher. Because that crow can't go that high. And eventually that crow will fall off and the eagle just keeps soaring. And I thought about ourselves and us, and, you know, the world and Satan, he's likened to birds, the Bible says, evil birds, and they're just always going to try to attack. You just keep soaring. He renews your strength like the eagle. Where are you and I headed? If you're saved, where are you headed? We're going up. And he renews my strength like the eagle. I mentioned it a little bit earlier, and let me say it again. There are people that used to be in our midst, loved ones that are now in heaven. They're not gone. They're not forgotten. They just finally reached their destination. And he's already renewed their strength like the eagles. He's already given them eagles' wings. They're flying. Look with me in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation, that word conversation is our lifestyle, our living. It's the same idea as citizenship. Our conversation is in heaven. I mentioned elections earlier this sermon. Ultimately, I am a citizen of heaven. I am so thankful for that. I'm thankful to be an American, don't get me wrong. But I'm more thankful to be a citizen of heaven. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. Remember all those diseases we talked about? Who healeth all thy diseases. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. If you're saved, you have this. This is one of your benefits. This is something you have already coming to. You know it for sure. You're going to have that. I appreciate the three old geezers that were working on this thing this week. I was sitting here and I came in and one of them was sitting in the chair. It was about 4:30 and they're going, oh, it's over there. It's over there. Oh, picked it up and handed it, you know. The other one's complaining about having their head sideways in that slanted roof back there. Vile bodies. If you don't know you have a vile body, wait a few years. You'll find out you do. He only renews the believer. Nobody else gets renewed. They just die. But the Bible tells us there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I'm looking forward. I'm going up, man. I'm looking forward. It just gets better and better. I think one of the greatest things about being a Christian is knowing this isn't the best there is. You haven't experienced your best life. You've got a better one still ahead. According to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. And so, Christian, I don't care what happens in the next 30 days. There is no reason for you and I not to be thankful people, grateful people, praising the Lord, knowing of the promises we have that can't be taken away, knowing of the goodness of God, the forgiveness, the heartbreak that's been healed, the redemption from destruction, the surrounding and the crowning of loving kindness and mercy, and the learning of good things and finding out tastes that are good and acquiring a taste that gives you an appreciation for the things of God, and being renewed and restored and strengthened and realizing that, yes, there's a Satan, and yes, he climbs on my back and picks on me, but I just keep soaring higher and higher because my citizenship is in heaven. That's where I'm going. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. Praise God. Let's not forget his benefits. Let's close in prayer today. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for opportunity to open it and preach from it now. Lord, we thank you for salvation. I don't know, maybe there's someone here that's not saved, and I'm going to give them an opportunity to invite them to talk with someone about that. Lord, help us who are saved to not forget, to not get so horizontally minded looking around us that we forget vertically to look up. And help us to be thankful for your goodness and your blessings in our life. Help us to be more satisfied with what is the good. Help us to get a better diet and to shed some of that other stuff that's just junk. Help us to be renewed like eagles. And to soar above and beyond this stuff that gets us down. Thank you, God, for your benefits. And help us to bless you and praise you. Help us to walk around blessing your name and praising you for who you are. With our heads still bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask, would there be someone that would say, Pastor, I don't know that if I died, I'd be in heaven. I don't know that I have that forgiveness of sin that I need. But I'd like to talk to you about it. You or your wife, I'd like to visit with you about it. Would there be anyone that would raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I need to talk to you. I know it. I need to talk with you. Anybody at all? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for opportunity today to meet together. Thank you for the people that are here, the blessing they are to me and hopefully to each other. Help us to continue to praise you and bless your name and to remember your benefits that we enjoy from you. In Jesus' name, amen.